presenting to you an Ista World podcast.
So the first set of questions are around just clarity around the holy truth. The first question is, what does the holy truth mean?
Welcome everybody. I'm the main UK speaker and I'll be answering the questions on behalf of the inquiries today. The question is, what is the holy truth?
What does it mean?
What does it mean? You see, the holy truth really is an explanation of the ultimate state of existence. It is beyond anything that we can understand that has been described or can be described. It is a state of existence of nothingness, isness, or all possibilities, where every possible outcome exists. It is in fact the origin of the Lord itself, because the holy truth is a latent form or unmanifested form of the Lord, and therefore it has no attributes, it has no characteristics that can be described, because in essence it has been unmanifested, uncreated. So you could say it is simply will or power that can manifest from itself everything in existence, including the Lord. So the holy truth creates the supreme Lord, or the primal being actually, that then goes on to create the rest of creation. So when the holy truth becomes manifested, we call it the primal being, or the ultimate or absolute God. And then that absolute God creates the rest of creation according to this divine will. So that is the holy truth. It is a state of existence that cannot be attained by any human being. Its reference to it is simply for information purposes. And the only way that anybody attains the holy truth is when the entire creation merges back into it and becomes unmanifested, uncreated, including the Lord itself. That is the way to attain the holy truth. But knowledge of the holy truth, knowledge of its working and its existence, helps us a great deal to make sense of the entire creation, why it exists in the first place, why does the Lord exist, why does God exist, what is God, and so on, for information purposes.
Thank you. Are you able to say a bit more about what must we do to obtain the holy truth?
Well, as I've said before, we cannot obtain it until the entire creation merges back with its source. However, the holy truth has manifested the entire creation, and therefore you could say it is present in everything. So as human beings, we originate from the fifth supreme Lord, or Satpurush, in the kingdom of God, in the fifth realm. So that is a manifestation of the holy truth as well, but it's a manifested form. It's not the absolute truth, but it is a manifested form of that truth with a particular attribute. And because that attribute represents our origin, by attaining that state, we attain a part of the holy truth. But you cannot attain the absolute holy truth, or even comprehend it or understand it, until the entire creation merges back with it.
If someone were to ask me what the holy truth is, what should I say to them so they understand it easily?
You could simply explain to them that it's the highest truth. It is the king of truths. It's the truth of truths. And it is something which is in concept only, because nobody can actually attain it until the entire creation merges back with its source. So it is the source and origin of everything that is, everything that has ever been, and everything that ever will be. It is even the precursor of God. It is the origin of the Lord itself.
Is the holy truth of Santmat only available to so-called marked souls?
you see in Santmat philosophy, which is Santmat means path of the saints, or path of the enlightened ones, or holy masters, which are those who have attained the highest level possible for a human being, who resides at the physical level, to attain in spiritual terms, which is the kingdom of God or the fifth realm. So masters are representative of that. Now, the teachings of masters say that the holy truth, or the state of existence of merging with the Lord, or oneness with the Lord, is attainable by human beings via the physical form. Only in the physical form is this attainable. So it's difficult to answer the question directly. I've already explained this through previous questions. But Santmat represents the manifested form of the Holy Truth as given by the Holy Masters. And so following the instructions of the Holy Masters allows us to attain that which is possible for human beings to attain. And we cannot go beyond the level of our own origin.
Is the level of the Holy Truth above all else, meaning religion or spirituality even? For example, is the Holy Truth above the fifth realm of Santlok or Kingdom of God?
Yes, as explained earlier, it is. It is the highest form of existence possible that exists. Nothing is beyond it. It is absolute. But it is also not attainable by human beings or even the lords of creation, unless the entire creation, including the lords, merge back with it and become nothing again, become unmanifested. So yes, it is the highest form of existence possible.
Is the holy truth of Santmat simply knowledge or experience?
Since the holy truth is manifested in entire creation, it is both knowledge and experience. Knowledge refers to that which is known by the mind. Experience is that which can be experienced by the mind and the soul. So experience, in a way, trumps knowledge. It is beyond knowledge, because experience gives you that level of understanding that knowledge alone cannot give. For example, if I give somebody a sweet and I say this is the most tasty sweet in the world, and then they ask me, well, how, you know, what does that feel like? What is the most tastiest sweet in the world? Can you describe it to me, why it is so? I say, no, I cannot give you knowledge of this, but I can give you experience of it. If I give you the experience of it by giving you the same sweet to taste, then this will give you greater understanding of what it is I'm experiencing than any words I can say, any scripture I can write about it can tell you. So experience is another level of understanding that is beyond knowledge. Knowledge is limited to the intellect alone, to the mind alone. Experience takes you right up to God realization.
Can you tell us what it is like to connect with the Holy Truth?
Well, since the Holy Truth, as I said before, is represented in everything in creation, I presume the questioner here is referring to the highest state of Holy Truth that can be attained by a human being, which is Satchkhand, or the Satlok, in the fifth realm, in the kingdom of God, which the holy masters descend from. So that is the highest state that one can attain regarding the holy truth. And the teachers of Santmat, the holy masters of Santmat, give ample teachings about this subject.
Thank you. How do I know the holy truth is the holy truth?
Well, mostly people know something by comparing with what it is not. And since everything is the holy truth, there is nothing but the holy truth in existence. So the answer is, no matter what you experience, you're experiencing a manifestation of the holy truth.
Okay. This is about what masters have said. There's just a couple of questions here.
Okay.
Master always says that we should put spirituality as priority number one. As an initiate, what happens if I don't follow this principle?
Well, if you decide to not follow the recommendations of the masters, then your progress will be greatly delayed in attaining the objective of self and God realization. The reason why the masters tell us to practice a particular form is because that is most suitable to the life form they are explaining it to, in this case, human beings. In this modern age, with so many distractions and so many attachments and allurements, attractions, you could say, people are easily distracted from spiritual practice because there's so much enjoyment for the mind. So masters have invented something called spiritual practice. And spiritual practice involves certain way of life, following certain code of conduct, and meditation. And together, these things encourage the mind to focus upon something beyond the mundane of existence. So if we focus on something higher and we befriend the mind will help us on our journey back home. Then when we reach a certain point, we can leave the mind behind and progress spiritually, really spiritually. So real spirituality starts from beyond the mind. Otherwise, before that is mindfulness or philosophy.
Thank you. Okay, this is the last question regarding what Master has said. Since it is said that we cannot do any practice, including meditation, to reach the holy truth, as Master said that nothing is in our hand and that any kind of effort will not work, why does Master encourage us to meditate and recite the holy names?
You see, the nature of the mind, it has to do something. It cannot do nothing. The mind, the moment the mind stops functioning, it dies. You see, we have physical death. We understand the concept of physical death. When the body stops working, we say it is dead. When the mind stops thinking and stops analyzing and intellectualizing, it dies. That's the method of death for the mind. And even the mind has a lifespan. So masters say, okay, now that you've been pulled by the master back home slowly, according to the pace you can take spiritually, because the master connects with the soul, pulls the soul back home, what is the mind to do in the meantime? So again, as I said, the masters have invented something called spiritual practice, which is solely for the benefit of the mind, to keep the mind on track and to stop the mind creating problems for us, and to keep the mind peaceful and happy. Whilst the real spiritual practice is going on, which actually does not involve the effort of the disciple, contrary to all the books which indicate that it's the effort of the disciple that attains spiritual wealth and knowledge. Actually, it isn't. The effort of the disciple helps to keep the mind under control whilst the master does the work. So one who has attained little merit along the way, one who has attained little wisdom, recognizes this fact and realizes it is the master that's pulling us towards himself. And the Lord is pulling us towards itself. And not our effort pushing us anywhere. Effort can only be done with the mind. The soul actually makes no effort at all. The soul is already divine. The soul is a spark of the Lord, a drop of the ocean. There is nothing that the soul needs to do to progress spiritually. So it is the mind that is the one who benefits from spiritual practice, which is a tool of the soul, which has been created in order for us to enjoy another experience other than that of pure bliss and love of the soul. So there's no reality to anything that the mind's doing. So spiritual practice is given to the mind to occupy it whilst the Lord is pulling the soul back home to its source in the kingdom of God.
Thank you. Right, the next set of questions is about going home. Is it already predetermined if we will go home in one lifetime?
Actually, yes, that is correct. Because everything in this creation is predetermined, actually. The entire story has been scripted and we're playing the part. And it's only human beings who are unaware because only human beings are ignorant in creation, uniquely so. Every other form of creation, whether they're Rakshas, demons, whether they're angels, whether they're demigods, the supreme lords of the various realms, all of them are aware of their role and what they must do. Only humans are ignorant of what is to come next. And this is unique to human beings. And it makes human beings a very fascinating creation of the divine. So being human is the only means by which you can access higher truth through ignorance. Because it's through ignorance that you could become a seeker. Otherwise, the script is already determined and there's nothing you can do about the script once you are made aware of the script. It's only if you do not know what is in the script that you have to make a choice of what to do next. But even this is illusion. The choices are laid before you and they're limited. We call them conditioned free will, where you think you're making a decision. But this is scripted. In order for the mind to have fun in its own spiritual progress, that it thinks that it's going to attain something by doing this action or performing that deed and so on. But again, real spirituality is the divine pulling the soul back to itself. There's no involvement of the mind at all in this. But because the fun part is to make the mind believe that it has a role in spirituality, so humans are born ignorant, just for the excitement of the drama of another type of existence which doesn't exist anywhere else in creation, which is ignorance. It's a very unique concept, ignorance, of what is to come next.
Thank you. Can the journey to our true home happen in just one meditation session, or do we need multiple sessions to transcend the different planes as talked about in the last satsang?
It is perfectly possible for an absolutely sincere soul to attain the absolute truth in one session. Absolutely so. In one moment, in fact. In 1 second. In less than a second. If the sincerity is so intense that they're prepared literally to die for it. As Guru Gobind Singh said, are you prepared to cut off your head and hand it to the feet of the Guru for the truth? At that point, the master can take you straight home, straight to the truth in an instant. But this is also rare. So the answer is yes, it is possible, but no, it hardly ever happens. And those ones in who it happens to become masters.
In the final end of creation, there will be a grand disillusion where all souls will be withdrawn back to the Creator naturally. So why do we have to bother to seek for the truth if eventually everyone is destined to go home to our Father?
You see, when we projected ourselves from our home, from Satsukhan, we took upon ourselves a story, an adventure. Now, the nature of an adventure is that it has a beginning and an end and a middle. And this is predetermined. So if it were in our hands, we could say, okay, we're going to wait until the end of the creation and hang around. But that's not the way actually the creation is structured. When you took on an adventure, it has a finite existence. So it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you cannot go outside of this. So therefore, your journey is predetermined, the progress is predetermined, the beginning and end of the journey is predetermined, so you have no choice but to follow the predetermined route you have chosen. So under that circumstance, everybody will go home at a certain rate. If this creation is to continue, then some souls have to remain here, others have to go home because of the variety of experience. The Lord, when he projected this creation from himself, he wanted to experience every level of existence possible, including the longest journey and the shortest journey. Every possibility, every possible outcome has to exist. So therefore, each individual is following the route mapped out from them. So there's no choice. They have no choice about how long it takes or whether they should wait or not wait. They're driven by a constant pull. And that pull in the mind can either be a desire, a feeling, or it could be a divine pull, a spiritual pull, unknown to them, which is pulling them back home in the pre-allotted time.
Thank you. Is it possible to obtain salvation in one lifetime? And if so, how can one find it?
Yes, of course. Masters encourage this. Masters say, if you become a sincere, devoted practitioner, where you're able to attach yourself so completely to the master that you forget everything else, during this lifetime, you most certainly will go where the master goes. And if the master comes from Satchkhand, from Satlok, you will go there upon your death. So yes, it is absolutely possible.
Thank you. Right. These few are around perfect living masters. Apart from elevated souls who are destined to be masters, how many disciples of the ones who get initiated by a perfect living master go back home in one lifetime?
Well, whilst I spoke earlier that it is perfectly possible for a disciple to be taken home in one lifetime, it is also not so common. A small percentage, 1-3% of the Sangat will go home in one lifetime. Because most of the Sangat who are born here because it is their first time or second time on the path. And this occurs because they're undergoing a certain level of progress which requires them to be born physically. What we do not see are those who have already been here, who have attained a certain level of merit, but now continue their journey in the inner realms. So you could say that they are no longer here, that they've left, and they're on their journey home. But rare is the one who makes it entirely in one lifetime here physically. Most of them go through stages of revelation, stages of evolution or progress up to Satchkhand. And actually, it is more fun that way, because the greatest entertainment is slowly unveiling your reality, who you really are. Because you think you're a beggar and you think that you're worthless at the lowest level, but actually you're divinity, you're the Lord itself. And to unfold this awareness in stages is much more fun than having it all at once. So don't worry if your journey is taking a little longer. Enjoy the ride. Believe me, it's a very entertaining ride.
Thank you. Is it true that most initiates from a perfect living master do not truly understand what true spirituality really is?
I would say absolutely so. I'll say the majority of them. The majority of people who are initiated do not understand what initiation really is. They do not even understand what spirituality is. It is just a concept for them in the beginning. But this is where the spiritual practice helps to educate the mind. Because from the soul's point of view, it already knows everything. It's already wise. It does not need to learn anything. It does not need to practice spirituality. It is the projection of the soul in the form of the character that we're playing this life that is the one who's doing the learning and doing the progress and putting the effort in and so on. So from the mind's point of view, yes, there are stages of progress it has to get involved with. There is spiritual practice it does to unveil all this secret for the mind. And then at the end of it all, the mind is given up by the soul. And the soul says, that was a wonderful experience. Let's now have a look at another one, maybe. Or maybe it says, I need some rest in Satchkhand. Let's have some rest. Sit for a while, and either they want to go back to the true oneness of the Lord, merging with Anami Purush, the highest form of the Satpurush, and never return, or they say, look, I still want to be a jigsaw piece in the picture so that I can leave the picture at will and come back as an individual jigsaw piece and play another round of fun in creation. So people are all different stages of spiritual progress in this life and will encounter all sorts. But everyone will go home, guaranteed. Once initiated by a spiritual master, there are no failures. It's just some will take longer than others. And one should never be a harsh judge upon oneself.
Thank you. Can you embody the holy truth of Sankhmat by connecting with a perfect living master?
Well, since everything is part of the holy truth, even the physical is part of the holy truth, you automatically are embodying the holy truth, whatever form. But if you're saying that you want to attain a higher and purer state of existence, yes, by attaching yourself to a holy master, you're attaining a higher level of the holy truth that is much more blissful and peaceful and loving and powerful than the physical form. So if you want to experience something much greater than the physical existence, then you attach yourself to one who comes from that level of the truth, which is much greater and higher than the physical existence, so that you can enjoy that level of existence too.
Thank you. You mentioned in the last satsang about a higher level of existence. Are there any perfect living masters from the ninth level or from the level of the holy truth here on earth right now? And if so, how do we recognize them?
Well, you see, since human beings originate from the fifth realm, what would the point be of a master from the sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth coming here when no soul of theirs exists at this level? You see, the fifth realm, you could say, is the middle of the spiritual hierarchy of creation. It is the resting point. It is the point at which below that is imperfect creation, above that is perfect creation. So the fifth realm is the middle ground. And in higher stages, the souls have a totally different type of experience than we have in the creation from the fifth realm down. So therefore, it is inappropriate for them to come to the fifth realm or to stages below that, because they have no connection with this type of existence. So that means that there wouldn't be masters coming from the ninth to the sixth here. But knowledge of their existence is certainly available in the grand library in the fifth realm of creation, where you can look at the existence of other realms beyond, which have other extreme modes of existence inappropriate for those souls who reside in the fifth realm. And the only way that anyone can attain that level is by the fifth realm entirely merging with the sixth, and then the sixth entirely merging with the seventh, or the seventh with the eighth, and the eighth with the ninth. It's only by that entire merging that you can experience it. So therefore, it is not possible for a soul who resides in the fifth realm or lower to attain those higher states, but they can certainly have knowledge of it, but they cannot become it. So therefore, masters generally do not come from those levels. Information about them only exists for information purposes only.
Thank you. Once we get accepted and initiated by a perfect living master, I believe that everyone will be heading back to their true home. Why do some people have to come back multiple lifetimes, even when they have been found and initiated by a perfect living master?
You see, each one has a unique adventure. When a soul projects itself into lower creation out of Satchkhand, that soul takes on a particular character and a particular adventure. And as I spoke earlier, each adventure is different. Some are short, some are long. But all of them eventually go back. They all end in the end. So some people's journeys are longer, some people's journeys are shorter. If the journey is longer, they spend more time in lower creation than other souls. But the actual truth is, that all these souls are part of our own self. They're alter egos of ours. They're alter representations of our soul. So therefore, every other soul is also part of our experience. So in truth, we are all undergoing the longest and the shortest journey at the same time. But we only realize that when we merge with the Supreme Lord at the fifth level and have knowledge of all souls in creation, then we realize that actually all souls are part of ourselves. They're all alternative viewpoints of the Lord itself, of which we are one. So we can, at that level, see the creation from each individual viewpoint. So it doesn't matter whether it appears that somebody's having a longer experience or a shorter experience, because all experiences are of our own, ultimately. It just appears that some are having a longer and a shorter experience. So from the higher point of view, there's no such thing. There's all of them are our own experience. From the human point of view, it looks like some souls are having a longer experience and some are shorter experience. Because that is our perspective from the human level.
Thank you. Right, the last set of questions are just general questions now.
Okay.
I find being on a spiritual path is magical. I seem to draw people who want to help and support me and not take advantage of me. My question is, why does your life change so much once you become a sincere practitioner? Though I'm not complaining, I just want to know why.
Yes, well, you see, the way this creation is created is such that in the physical realm, you have all manner of levels existing at the same time. And there's a natural tendency of those ones who are lower to feel a pull, a kind of attraction to those from the higher. Because even if they're in the lower forms, they still come originally from the highest realm. There's still this adventurous spirit in wanting them to discover who they really are, even if they're not aware of it. So even so they're undergoing their business, if a higher level practitioner mixes among ordinary level citizens, those citizens are drawn to them. It's not so much the minds that they admire their mind or their beauty or something. That pull comes from within. It's soul to soul. It's the soul that's yearning to go back home. Now, human beings, those souls who are manifested as human beings, all of them have attained sufficient merit to warrant an ability to go home, even if in this lifetime they're not initiated or yet aware. But they still recognize intuitively one who comes from a higher realm or who is elevated. And once you become elevated, you become very attractive to those ones who are not, but they do not know why. They just want to serve you, take care of you, help you, and perceive some benefit from that. They enjoy doing that. But if you ask them, they don't understand actually why. This is how I just feel like doing it. So that's why elevated spiritual practitioners often find that people run around them, rally around them, and want to help them. But they do not know why. They just do so. So enjoy it. It helps them too.
I feel like regardless of my seeking, my sanskaras prevent me from making much progress on the path in one lifetime. Could this be true?
Most definitely. The sanskaras refer to the impressions upon the mind, which determine the likes and dislikes, preferences and habits of the individual character that's being played in creation. Now, if the preferences, likes and dislikes are not saintly, are not spiritually orientated, then that person will find it harder to practice spirituality, to focus upon it. So they will complain that they seem to be struggling along the path. But they should take comfort in the fact that no matter where they are in their journey, they're going home. Does it really matter that it takes a little bit longer here or there? It means they have more time to enjoy the creation. Mm-hmm. Why not look at it from a positive point of view? But because there are no failures in sadhana, everybody will go home eventually. But the allotted time span has been predetermined. And they can either be miserable about this or they can be joyous in this. It's just a way of looking at things.
Thank you. Why do some seekers blame Cal for the negativity in the karmic realms when he is only doing his seva for the Supreme Lord?
Perfectly right. Cal is not negative from the Lord's point of view. Because his role is to create the illusory adventures that the souls like to enjoy, the dramas. Now, when the souls get stuck in this adventure and they forget their true origin, they forget who they really are and start believing that the character that they're playing is their reality, that's when they start talking and saying that Cal is evil and that negative power, they give all these attributes. That's from their point of view, their perspective. So these references are written by people who are not enlightened, people who are scholarly, who are knowledgeable, who've read many scriptures. And so they refer to Cal, the negative power, as evil, as negative even. But actually, it's there for your own entertainment. You could say it's the entertainment master. And it's designed to give you another type of experience other than the pure spiritual bliss, ongoing bliss of the soul. So Cal has a role to play, which has been created by the Lord. And since you are part and parcel of the Lord, you could say it is of your own doing that Cal comes into existence to provide an entertainment for you. But if you forget all of that, if you're ignorant of all of that, and you associate only with the physical being that you are, with the participant, and you forget that you're the soul who has designed all of this, then you'll start saying, yes, this is the negative power, and the Lord is the positive power because he's the one rescuing me. And that's fine. It's all part of the play. It's all part of the adventure.
Thank you. Is it good practice to slow down your pace when at work so you have easier time during Simran and also being more productive?
Well, not sure exactly what the question is getting at with this question, but certainly in any condition you find yourself, if spirituality is your objective, then you will always do everything in a spiritual mindset. And once you do everything with a spiritual mindset, it becomes a service to humanity, it becomes a service to the Lord, and thus it becomes a service to you, the spiritual practitioner, because you benefit as a result. So whatever your circumstances, you should always put spirituality first, and you should always look at it as a service towards the master. Because after all, the master has given you this role to play. So whilst you're initiated, you have a role still to play in society. Why not just simply offer this to the master? There's no actual reality to anything that you're doing, even your spiritual practice. So offer it all to the master and say, okay, I'll do this for entertainment purposes, for the master's bidding. Ultimately, you are going to take me home at the allotted time. In the meantime, may I entertain myself. And in this case, because you're initiated, you can entertain yourself in a wholly positive way by doing everything in the master's name. Therefore, you rise above the good and bad of everything, and you just see everything as a spiritual journey.
I think the question might have meant, if you're doing something, slow down your actions. So when you do your Simran, it kind of syncs with your actions rather than doing something really fast.
No, Simran is completely separate. You know, Simran is a remembrance of the Lord, nothing to do with your actions. But if you say, declutter your life, simplify your life, in other words, get less involved with life, then this is definitely beneficial for Simran. So maybe looking at it from that point of view, if you simplify your life, break some connections, live less of a fast life, you know, live a simpler way of life, focus more on spirituality, you actually can get much more enjoyment. For example, if I'm in a journey in a car, and the car is traveling at 200 miles an hour through wonderful scenery, can I really appreciate the scenery around me? No. But if the car is driving 30 miles an hour, I have more time to enjoy the scenery. So definitely slowing down gives you much more enjoyment of life and spirituality than rushing through.
Thank you. Well, those are all the questions